I'm not trying to say that you should just focus. I think where we get off on a negative or like a less productive side of this is people try and focus on what they think is profitable. This isn't about focusing on what's profitable. It's about focusing on what you're passionate about and what you can be, like where your skill set lies. That's what you're focused on. Because when that comes together, your passion and your skill set, you'll be profitable no matter what.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, effective, easily actionable, and proven heart-centered marketing strategies. And now your hosts, Dr. Angus Pike and Dr. Tony Rose.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice show. Today's show is with the wonderful, the clever Dr. Mark Wade. In today's show, we're talking all about practice multiplier number two, which is all about narrowing your focus to help you see more people. Now, if you've heard us talk before about how you need to focus on a small group of people for you to have a bigger impact, but you've been scared or confused about how to start, then you're going to love this interview today. So Mark talks about the number one key that you must be using when you want to choose your niche or the group that you're going to focus on. He'll show you how you go about building authority, trust, and expertise within that little group. And he talks about some of the biggest mistakes that we do when choosing a group also.
Yeah, and he also goes through as to why, even if there's great competition within that niche, that you can stand out. And he goes through how to go about that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, great. So Mark will tell his story, how he went from failing in a small practice over in Italy to now having literally a seven-figure empire where he's impacting people around the globe as well. So again, if you wanted to learn more about niche, in fact, it's a concept that comes up in marketing all the time, one that took us a long time to kind of warm to, but it really is what underpins all successful campaigns as well. Now, just a word of warning, the audio and some of the video throughout this does go a little up and down. Mark is all the way over in Puerto Rico, but this interview is full of some of the most wonderful content. There are diamonds all the way through this. So persist with it. You'll be very glad that you did.
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
Let's go.
Mark Wade, welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. Great to see you.
It is awesome to be here, guys. Super excited about it.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. It's been a little while since we've connected. Good to see your face on the screen again from the other side of the world. And here we are for another episode of Marketing Your Practice. And we've got some beautiful stuff to dive into to get your knowledge and expertise on today. And we are diving into what we would call our practice multiplier number two, which is all about narrowing on your focus. And who better to have on than Mark Wade to talk through that. So great to have you here, mate.
Mark, you had an interesting experience when you and Krista practiced over in Italy. And I wonder if that might be a good kind of leaping off spot for us to talk about expert positioning, narrowing your niche, and why the practitioners listen to this, why that might be a good strategy for them to actually serve more people. So can you begin by perhaps sharing that story?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, when we graduated, we went straight over to Italy, you know, kind of, blind-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to jump in and, you know, kind of serve the world and not really understanding, you know, how business and everything worked coming straight out of school. Once we got there, we just kind of assumed patients would line up and start coming in the door for us. When they didn't, we kind of went into a little bit of a panic mode. So we call it the treadmill effect, where we were sprinting constantly, trying as hard as we could to move the needle forward, but never really moving forward, just staying in place. Now, one of the things we did, which is one of the mistakes we made, and I see this kind of happen a lot, especially in newer practitioners and newer healthcare professionals, is we tried to do everything. Like, so we've got chiropractic going, we're serving our community with that. I'm going to also add some, meditation into that. I'm going to add some nutrition into that. I'm going to add some, yoga into that. You know, we were essentially trying to do a little bit of everything, thinking the more kind of stuff we provided, the more offers we had, the more people we'd get in. And it couldn't have been further from the truth. I mean, that just, every month essentially became more and more difficult until I read a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins. And in that book, he talks about the hedgehog concept, which I call the unique expert position. mission. And essentially what it talks about is all the companies that go from good to great, they specialize, they narrow down or they niche down. And I think we've heard a lot about that at this point, but I think until you actually go through the process, it doesn't really kind of set in. But we read that book. We knew we were struggling. We were at that point willing to do anything as long as, you know, it could help us move forward and survive. And so as soon as we did that, we spent an entire weekend deciding, well, what is it that we want to niche down? He talks about these three different circles, and we were looking at everything we were doing. What interests us? What did we love the most? Like, what were we most passionate about? It was resonating with our community. And out of all of that, after a weekend, we kind of narrowed that down into posture correction. And so at that moment, that was, you know, at this point, years and years ago, we decided to focus on posture. And that actually, we can narrow it back down to that precise moment on when everything for us started to turn upwards.
It's I totally get it. When, you know, when I started to really study marketing, and this principle comes up again and again of what you actually need to do is narrow your focus. But when you're struggling, if somebody says, look, instead of trying to grab everywhere and I go, I'm not seeing enough patients as is, I want to see more patients, surely I should try and reach out to more of them. And yet you're telling me that I actually need to focus on less people. So how is it that focusing on less people actually led to more success? So why posture, or not particular posture, but why focusing down? How did that make things change? And why is that something that you would suggest that people do?
Such a great question. And like you said, for most of us, when the first time we think about it, especially if we're in a moment of struggle, it sounds counterintuitive. And the crazy thing is, we all hear this. Like, I'm reading a book right now called Profit First, which is an amazing book. Highly recommend that book. And he actually specifically talks about the reason why, and I think that it relates to this. He's off in a different direction with it, but when you add a different service, every time you add a new service, for example, specifically talking about the services, you actually you increase your expenses. You have to buy new products, new, you know, equipment, new things. Maybe you need additional help from your CA or your staff or whatever. You actually expand your expenses when you're trying to increase your services. So that's just one piece of it. But the actual psychology behind why, when we niche down, they say, you know, look for the 1-inch gap that's the 1-inch gap that's a mile deep versus just trying to be super generic or super general, is because what it does is it lets you kind of compound all of your efforts in the right direction. You build momentum, essentially. Now, when it comes to people you're speaking with, it allows them easier to understand. It becomes more easy for them to refer to you. So if I do everything, if I do weight loss and chiropractic and yoga, it's like, do I recommend people to Mark for weight loss or for yoga? You know, they don't know how to recommend you. But if it's Mark does posture correction, it becomes super simple for people to recommend you. So that's one reason. The other side of it is, when you're focused on one thing, you're spending more of your time becoming the expert, a skilled professional in that area. So it compounds both your knowledge and your skill set, which means you get better results. When we get better results, of course, we're going to get better referrals. As you become more of the expert and become more skillful at whatever you're doing, you're going to be able to then also increase your prices. So you wouldn't even have to see as many people necessary. So it's all of these things kind of connected together. It compounds and builds you forward by focusing on one simple thing. So it allows communication. Also, you now know what you should be talking with. Everybody that comes in your door, you know exactly how to communicate, both what to say, and you become better at actually seeing it. So when you're trying 10 different things, you know, you essentially have to see 10 times the amount of people to become proficient in any one of those things. Whereas if you're focused down on one thing, you can become more proficient quicker. And I'm not trying to say that you should just focus. I think where we get off on a negative or like a less productive side of this is people try and focus on what they think is profitable. This isn't about focusing on what's profitable. It's about focusing on what you're passionate about and what you can be, like where your skill set lies. That's what you're focused on. Because when that comes together, your passion and your skill set, you'll be profitable no matter what. So I think that's where maybe people can go off in the wrong direction, is you're not trying to focus on what you can be profitable on. You're focused on what you're passionate about and what you are naturally skillful at and what you can become even better at.
So what was the process, Mark? You obviously found that that was your passion, your skill set was there. Did you feel like you had enough information, enough knowledge, enough experience to be able to niche down into something like posture correction? I'm just thinking about practitioners out there and they go, yeah, okay, I really love XYZ, but I don't really know that I know enough. I'm not experienced enough. Can you talk to that?
Yeah. It's not about knowing it all when you decide, right? Like, I mean, for example, life's a journey anyways, right? We never get to the end. Hopefully, you know, when we get to the end, we get to the end. But it's a journey. So it's not about knowing the best or knowing everything now. Like when I decided, okay, I want to specialize in posture, honestly, I knew nothing about it. Knew nothing as when I look at myself now. But what I did is I go, now I know I want to specialize in posture. I started finding what resource, started taking certifications. I started taking courses. We started reading a book. I mean, now after 10 years of this, essentially, I have an entire bookshelf full of books just on posture, but that wouldn't have happened unless I initiated or started that journey. So it's not so much about knowing all of the answers now. It's about starting the journey to finding that knowledge and accumulating that knowledge. And even as you go along that journey and you find knowledge, you're going to constantly be crafting it. You're going to be honing those skills. Something that you were doing maybe 3 or 4 years ago, you may find a better way of doing it down the road. That's also very important, is we never want to get set or stuck in our ways, because then we're not trying to learn. If we're not trying to learn, we're not improving.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because you know, expert position is not just about calling yourself a posture expert. You have to back it up with the goods as well. So there needs to be some skills there too. But I would want to just remind our audience of this, you know, whether you be a chiropractor, a naturopath, wherever you are kind of in that alternate health field, if you've got your degree, you've got a level of expertise already. You know, you've done the study. So some of it's just a level of self-worth, and at different times, you know, I love that idea. You just need to be a page ahead in the book. Whether it's the posture book, whether it's the weight loss book, whether it's the yoga book, as long as you're a page ahead from your audience, that's all you need to be. There will always be people that know more than you, and they're not going to be the ones that come and see you. We want to help the people that are just a little bit further behind us in the track, and they're the ones that we can take kind of on that health journey as well. So I also, Mark, if you can talk a little bit more about that idea of choosing something that you're passionate about as opposed to just something that's profitable. Is there a thought there that you have to know there's an audience for it? So, you know, if I'm passionate about looking after people aged between 60 and 65 that have leprosy, you know, is there a point where you go, hang on, there's probably not an audience about that, buddy. Let's see if we can find another one. So what size of group should we be looking for? Where do we mix in passion and there's an audience?
Honestly, I have yet to hear, and I work with lots of entrepreneurs, both in the healthcare space and outside of the healthcare space, I have yet to have anybody have that problem. Usually it's the opposite. They don't niche down enough. Honestly, I've yet to have someone go, you know, I'm looking to help people between 65 and 75 who have leprosy, you know, who have Indian descent, you know, like that would be like, whoa, okay, you're on the right path. And what I would say is with that, is I think if that was your niche, you would probably be the best in the world. You would get referrals for that, and you would probably find a system of helping people. Maybe it's not in your practice, but like we look at the people that are look at the people who are changing the world. That's what I like to look at. The person who's out there that's terraforming, you know, Mars, or that's, you know, I'm recently had dinner with Naveen Jain, and he is the only man licensed in the world to mine on the moon, right? Like he didn't start off going like, is my idea too niche? Like he had an idea and he went after it. Usually, you know, the ones, if it's what you're truly passionate about, like you'll find out real quick, if you're not passionate about it, you're going to meet challenges. And when you meet those challenges, if you don't want to work through those challenges, you weren't really passionate about it in the beginning or in the first place. So I would worry less about being too niche down, not being enough audience. I would focus more on where does your heart tell you? Like what do you love doing? Okay. And if you love doing it, like where you start off today, your idea of it. Like, what my idea itching down into posture is not the same idea I have now. Like, we obviously we've expanded our focus. We do things in postural neurology now, for example. That wasn't even a thought process back then. So as you go through your journey, you're gonna trim the fat off of either side of it, and you're gonna find that path that's unique and ideal for you. But the thing, like, really worry about is most people get into this analysis paralysis, and they never take the first step. Versus, like, let's take a couple steps forward and find out, you know what, maybe this isn't the direction I love. Let's take one step back and then keep going in this direction. So I would work niche down, focus on what do you love, and take immediate action. You can always change your mind, okay? Nothing when we're talking about right now about expert position is going to be permanent within a week or two, right? Yeah.
I think that's really important. And I know it kind of brings me a sense of relief too, is that, hey, choose a niche, start playing with it. In a moment, we'll talk about what those first steps will be like. But early on in my practice, I really thought I wanted to work with elite athletes. And I started heading down that pathway. I got some inroads in. I was looking after lots of our Olympic swimmers. And I then soon realized that it sucked. I didn't like it at all. I didn't feel appreciated. I had to work on weekends. It was like I was, I should feel lucky to be looking after them. So I got down that path and went, this is not what I want to do. And I reversed back. And so if you're worried when you're thinking about choosing an audience to look after and to focus down there that you might have to do this for the rest of your life, I just want to mirror with what Mark said before. You can change. Test this thing out. Life is about, you know, testing something. How does it work? Do I like the feel of it? And if not, you know, wind back. And Tony's such a, you know, you're a good guide in terms of that, you know, that way of doing things too. Test it out. Does it work there as well? So once I've chosen my niche, and let's just head down. Let's get with what you and Krista did with posture. We decide we're going to posture is what it's all about. What's the next step Monday in practice? We've decided that posture is what we're going to focus on. So what next?
The next step is you start talking about it. Like, okay, and this goes across whether you're like in practice. I mean, this is business in general. You start communicating with your audience, with your patients, with your clients. You start getting the feedback. You find out what resonates. I mean, for example, when we were in it, posture was the most important aspect with posture for Italians was the way they looked. It's a model-oriented society or culture, right? The way they look is very important to them. So if you said something about posture, they were 100%. That's important, but we wouldn't have known unless we started communicating that. Then once we started working with healthcare professionals around the world, we started to find out, for example, everybody agrees that posture is important, but we started to find out different cultures agree with it for different reasons. You know, in the United States, they're not as concerned with the way they look. They're more concerned with the way they feel, right? So if you got, the next step is to start talking about it. You got to talk with your audience. You got to get that back. But don't spend all your time talking either. Next is to start looking out for what else is out there. Like, what can you do to start increasing your knowledge? So, I mean, the most immediate and probably simplest step is look at who people that you either look up to or that you trust, and ask them for advice, ask them for help, and see what they recommend. But increasing your knowledge, start reading. I mean, if we're talking to the practitioner that's really struggling financially right now, and you're going, you know, I can't afford another $1,000 program or $2,000 this, start reading. I mean, you can afford a $20 book, right? You can start having conversations with people, find out other like-minded people that are going to be able to give you some of these tips and ideas. In my opinion, honestly, this is like another way of saying a mastermind. Like, it doesn't happen to be an official mastermind, but find a group of people that are like-minded, that you trust, that will help guide you, because right there, you're going to get the most insight and value and help from that anyways. And then once you start to get to the point where you can invest, there's nothing better you can do. Invest in yourself. And when I mean invest in yourself, start taking training, education, increase your knowledge. Whatever profession you're in, increase your knowledge in whatever way you can. And don't stop. Like, as soon as you stop learning, you stop growing. And as Tony Robbins says, if we're not growing, we're dying.
I think it's, Tim Ferriss talks about, you know, building that expertise. One of his things is, look, head on over to Amazon, look under that subject, buy the 5 best selling books and read them. In fact, that was Brendan Burchard that said that, not Tim. But it's amazing in terms of what you can learn from there. You know, the stuff that most of us were taught in school is stuff that was, you know, discovered years beforehand. So if you want to be kind of latest and cutting edge, so you can get a heck of an education by heading on over to Amazon or even YouTube, as well as, you know, putting in your topic and start to kind of upskill through there as well. So I've chosen my niche. I'm beginning to study some more. I'm talking about it with my practice members. Is there some branding and stuff like that that you started to do as well in your practice? What other steps did you take?
Yeah, so I mean, branding, we're not exactly taught that in school, right?
Yeah.
So what the next step I would, we put the information out, we started to get that information. As far as branding, it was very important. Messaging, I think, is probably a better way I would say, and it probably makes more sense, is communicating, start talking about it both verbally, but also in all of our messaging. If we did any ads, if we had any offer, you know, social media ads, anytime we were, you know, if we did a spinal screening or things like that, you know, we were constantly doing it. But of course, our branding, it became pretty easy. And now that I look back at it, I would even say it was branding. At that time, I guess I didn't even know what I was doing because we didn't have any guidance in that area. As far as branding is concerned, I would say everything you're doing, both the way you look, the way your office looks, the materials you put out, needs to resonate with the message you're trying. So even if you're doing that subconsciously, as in like I'm handing out flyers that talk about posture or, you know, talk about weight loss or whatever that message is that you're doing, you need to have that out there. And I would highly recommend, branding is important. The better it communicates, and branding is important, the better you can look to look to your audience, get that message out there quicker and more powerful and impactful. It will cut off some of that time as far as work and effort is concerned.
Mark, I wanted to touch on it. I'm not sure. There's probably a practitioner out there going, "Oh, I really love, let's say, posture, but there's 6 other posture practices around my area." Did the factor of competition come into your decision? Should it come into people's decision, or is it the more the merrier?
Well, I definitely wouldn't be looking at what others are doing in a way that would stop me from doing what I cared about. If it stops you from doing what you care about, you didn't care about it in the first place. That's probably step number one. But there's 2 aspects of this. One, we call it social proof. If that office is doing well, it means there's a need for it. So that should be a social proof. There's proof that there is a need for that type of service or that type of specialty. So yes, I would do it. But what I would also be looking at is we're all different naturally. And I think in the healthcare profession, this kind of just happens naturally. Like we have our own personalities, our own ways of doing things. So we just naturally kind of have our own methods or offices. But I would look at a way to specialize. I would look at a way, you know, even if we were both doing posture, you know, what can I do that sets me apart from this person? So if we're both doing weight loss, you know, ketos, ketogenic, paleo, all that stuff's really big, you know, now. So like there's specialties within those specialties. Like that would be even another step. When we talk about like marketing, for example, you got Facebook marketing, you got Google marketing, right? You can narrow that down, like Facebook marketing for leads, you know, lead generation. And you can narrow that even further. Now they've got like chatbot. So you could be a chatbot lead generation Facebook marketing expert. So take the same thing in practice. Like even if there's somebody else that's doing something similar, I would say you can make it different and go even more specific. The thing, and I just heard this on a podcast today or yesterday. The generalists, you know, like, and they were referring specifically to medical doctors, but like the generalist, they're seeing everybody, they're taking care of everybody, and they're making pretty general pay. The specialists are the ones that make the most money. So I wouldn't make my decision based off of money, but again, like the more you specialize down, the more people are going to be willing to pay you because you become a specialist, an expert.
Mm. You know, when you think about it too, like certainly over here in Australia and around the world for that matter, you know, when there's a McDonald's next to it, there's a Burger King next to it, there's a KFC. So you've got all these fast food restaurants that set up right next to each other. They're all fast food, but they slightly differentiate because they are different restaurants. So
there is. But can I also bring up the point of, we have a mob over here called Bunnings, which is a big warehouse thing. And remember, what was the competition mob that came in and they put their competition right next to Bunnings?
Yes.
And they failed.
Yeah.
You know, the market was saturated. They'd had brand awareness, beautiful. So I guess there's examples of both.
But you know what? Here's what I think is that I don't think they did enough to differentiate themselves.
Yeah,
so there was two of the same next to each other. You know, if you've got, and we call it Hungry Jack's here, you guys call it Burger King. If you've got that next to McDonald's, they're obviously different. So, you know, I wonder if that was part of the situation there too. Did they have the backup with what was
not different enough? Too?
And it is, you know, in some ways, Mark, you kind of mentioned it beforehand. There's some real dangers by going into a market and going, nobody is doing this. You know, in fact, from a marketing point of view, we often go, ooh, you don't want to be the first into the market. It's, you know, recent those guys in their marketing book will say there's some benefits for that too. But if there's already somebody that has a posture place in your community and they're thriving, then you want to go, oh, that's fantastic. People like posture. I'm going to set up a posture place too. And then how can I differentiate myself a little bit? Maybe the work I do is low force. Maybe I'm posture neurology. Maybe I'm posture for kids. Maybe I'm posture for athletes. You know, so there are, you can keep on narrowing down. And the one thing that really stands out to me, Mark, for everything that you say is it comes back to this is, are you passionate about it? You know, when you're passionate, because some of this is going to, like it or not, is going to involve some work. And there'll be times when you don't want to get up early. There'll be some times when you don't want to stay up late. But if you're passionate about something, if this is a calling for you, it's going to make it a heck of a lot easier for you to be able to kind of push through that as well. So next part of your journey, because the end story was, is that, you know, you ended up building a really thriving practice in Italy with that focus on posture. But that narrowing down to that niche then kind of led into you becoming not just a posture expert for patients, but now you're actually trained practitioners around the world in posture as well. So take us through a little bit of that journey and then, you know, because you're such a whiz when it comes to marketing, what are some of the lessons that you've learned in going from working one-on-one with people to now having a global practice as well?
Well, it's kind of funny. Back, we kind of mentioned this just briefly or momentarily at the beginning of this conversation, is you get what you ask for, right? Be careful on what you ask for. When I first started out in practice, I remember like my mindset was I wanted a bunch of clinics. Like I wanted to help a lot of people. And at different times, we had experimented with having more like a couple satellite clinics and stuff like that. But it was a lot of work, right? It was a lot of work. And we defined success of our clinic is we were working with 5 professional sports teams. We implemented a posture program into the public school system. We had done over 100 posture talks in both local, corporate, and small businesses. And so we had what we considered a very successful clinic, but I knew that really, if we were going to achieve and help as many people as I wanted, we either needed to have 100 clinics or we needed to have 100 clones of us, essentially. And what I mean by that is we need to have 100 people out there that can touch and help patients where I can't be at, where we can't be at, me and my partner. And so actually, we hadn't ever set out on a journey or mission to have this institute and teach other healthcare professionals. It actually started through the success of our clinic and just talking to other people. It started with talking to our friends, like, this is what we've learned, this is what we've done. And I will say the marketing kind of mindset, the success we got through that all came because I never stopped studying, both reading, both listening, podcasts, everything like that. I was constantly trying to invest into myself to help my clinic. That knowledge then allowed me to help a lot of other healthcare professionals. But essentially what we've seen is, I mean, we've got thousands and thousands and thousands now of healthcare professionals in over 50 countries worldwide, and probably even more than I've like really stopped checking at this point. But like, you know, we have people that are specializing specifically on posture correction. We We have experts that are focused more on postural neurology, which is brain-based posture correction. And we even have like our certified ergonomists that are working more with like seated workers and desk athletes, we call them. So what we've noticed is with all of those, when people start to communicate and they start to specialize in one thing, their success goes up. I mean, we've seen it almost every time. The messages we get back is like, I mean, I can think of somebody right off the top of my head. This was a recent one. Dr. Rob, I believe he was in North Carolina. He's always thought, neurology was important and he was interested in it. But after he did the certified postural neurology program, he immediately went out in his clinic and did a posture workshop on neurology, on postural neurology. And for the first time ever, it was filled. It was completely filled, maximum capacity. And it stayed like that. We had another practitioner she wasn't a chiropractor. I don't remember exactly what profession she was in, but she took the posture expert program. She's based in the UK and her name's Sarah. And she has had, because we get posts still from her to this day. It's been well over a year since she's done the program. She is constantly she not only does posture workshops, she now charges just to get admission into those posture workshops because they're constantly filled. So now she is but people are seeking after them because they're the expert. And this will work in whatever your niche is, whatever specialty you decide to do. When you become the expert, people were naturally drawn. Like, look at it like this. The easiest way to put it is, heaven forbid anybody in your family would ever have to have some kind of surgery. But let's say somebody in your family had to have open heart surgery. Do you want to take them to the number one best heart surgeon in your country? Or do you want to take them to the guy next door that does heart surgery, plastic surgery, does a little bit of bunion removal there? No, you're going to put your care and you will pay whatever it costs for that person because of their expertise. So if I could get anything across to people listening right now is you have to invest in yourself. No matter what that is, you got to invest in yourself. You got to find whatever you're passionate about. And you got to follow that and continue to improve your skill set. And you mentioned Brendon Burchard talked about reading the 5 books. Tim Ferriss actually does say that too in his book, 4-Hour Work Week. Most people are trying to learn a little bit about everything. If you read 5 books on one topic, you become in the top 10% most knowledgeable people on that topic. Just think about that. Mm-hmm. We're talking 5 books. So if you read 5 books on one specific topic, you become the top 10% most knowledgeable person on that topic every year for 5. Your success, your skill, your talent, your results. Success comes from results, right? I like to talk a lot about solving a problem. You have to solve a problem, and that's what it comes down to. If you can't solve a problem, you're not going to get results. You're not going to have success. So focus on, and the way you can solve that problem is by investing in yourself and increasing your skill set, your knowledge level, and your ability to solve that problem.
Yeah. That's pretty much practice magnifier number one is be great at what you do. If you're not coming off a foundation of being, really great at what you do, then we're going to be kind of in strife from there as well. So, Mark, I've got pages of notes through here. So much wisdom there too. As we kind of start to wind up, you kind of talked about, all right, just get there and learn and learn and learn and learn. Are there any other kind of pearls of wisdom that you would want to kind of drop? If you could go back to when you first started up the practice over there in Italy, what knowledge that you have now would you like to kind of take back to there as well that would help kind of speed this process up?
All right, you guys ready to ruffle some feathers? This is going to ruffle some feathers. The best thing that I ever did was to look outside of my profession for knowledge, no matter what profession you're in. And at this point, I'm around healthcare professionals in every profession. I actually have had a top rated podcast called Council on Human Function. It's actually still rated in the top 50, and I haven't even done a new episode in over a year, which had healthcare professionals from 6 different professions. And they all had similar experiences from their experience, which is a lot of times if we just learn from the people in our profession, we hear a lot of regurgitated stuff. Kind of get the same thing gets passed down in a different way of saying it, which is you still need to learn those lessons. But every now and then you need to look outside. Like I looked outside business-wise. Like I started reading business books instead of just getting some business knowledge from the people in my profession. Still went through the people in my profession. But I'm telling you, you can see things from a different light, and it kind of also it allows you to be comfortable with doing things a little different. Sometimes the best way of doing it is to do it different. I mean, maybe what I'm saying is not the best way for you to do it. Maybe you should do it a little different, but you wouldn't know that unless you go out and listen and learn from somebody else. So that for me, looking back, if I could have told myself other than to niche down or specialize, that would have been the first thing I told myself is specialize. Mm-hmm. The next thing I would have said is start learning as much as you can from as many different sources as possible.
Yeah, it's
wise words.
Differentiate or die. You know, there's a book on that whole thing. If you're not being different, and because again, if you're not different, then it comes down. It's going to be a competition on price. So if Tony and I look like we're the same, I'm going to go to Tony and say, "How much do you charge, Angus? How much do you charge?" And if everything looks the same, I'm going to choose the one that's a lower price from there as well. So, Mark, if our audience wants to find out a little bit more about you, learn more of your wisdom, just enjoy you, what's the best spot for them to go?
Yeah, so, I mean, we have our Facebook pages over at the American Posture Institute. You can get me on email, drwade@AmericanPostureInstitute.com. I'm happy to connect, share some insights, whether it's, you know, healthcare profession. You know, I would actually, if I can offer one more piece of wisdom before I hop up, like one of the things that I truly enjoy, and it's probably why I focus on this, but it would be something I'd recommend to everybody just in life in general, is I value, one of my core values is relationships, is networking and meeting new people, inspirational people. And one of the things I would recommend is get out there and meet more people, not just like people just like you, because I can offer this also from a cultural standpoint, having moved from America to Italy and then traveled all over Europe and all over the world. You know, I would say I was your typical American when I moved over to Italy, a little closed-minded, things like that. But being over there, it opened my mind and my heart and my eyes up to the difference culturally, you know, and there's people I had differences or disagreements with that I didn't see things the exact way they saw it, but it also challenged me to be a better person and understand things from the way they were doing. So I'd say more on a life basis, like if you can get out and meet other people that are different from you and really just focus on building relationships, I truly believe that's going to help everybody in the long run, both like just being happy and passionate wise, but also success.
Wise words.
Beautiful.
Wise
Mark words. Wade from the American Posture Institute. Thank you so much for being part of the Marketing Your Practice podcast. It's been awesome to catch up, buddy. And we must do it again very soon.
We're probably due for another trip over to Puerto Rico.
I think we might have to head on over to Puerto Rico and those pina coladas we had over there. Jeez, that was fun. Bit of dancing.
On the party bus.
On the party bus.
Good work. Hey, Mark, we appreciate you enormously. Thanks for all the great work that you do. Gang, if you're wanting to find out more about the trainings that Mark talks about, head on over to the American Posture Institute. We'll have some links down beneath the show here. Mark, until next time we catch up either in person or over the web like now, buddy. Keep well and look forward to seeing you soon. See you, mate.
Thanks, guys.